When my Kundalini awakening happened, it was really intense and powerful and beautiful and orgasmic and just absolutely incredible. But a lot of heavy stuff came with that as well. Again, the light and the dark. It's like the energy within me got shifted so much that it like shot me up into the realms of the universe. I had to bring myself back down. My body had to catch up with my energy that had been shifted and changed. Having the experience of a Kundalini awakening leading into January, which was unexpected, it wasn't planned. I didn't go to a practitioner and get someone to awaken it within me. It genuinely just happened.
Hello, my loves, and welcome to Align Within, a podcast to bring awareness to your most authentic self and guided in a way to help you ignite the infinite wisdom within your own being and consciousness. Hosted by Lauren Fleck, a multi-passionate, playful, spiritual, authentic freedom seeker who absolutely loves to dive deep into all things spiritual, sacred wisdom, being consciously aware, and unapologetically authentic, just to name a few. So within each episode, we're going to be discussing a range of topics based on new and old age spirituality, found and shared through my own personal experiences, as well as through the experiences of others around me. So we can collectively heal and continue the journey with a more playful and not so serious approach. So take what resonates and leave the rest behind. And if you want to dive deeper, you can follow Align Within for more juicy episodes. All links are within the show notes. So let's jump in. Hello, my loves, and welcome back to Align Within. Today, we're going to be touching on my spiritual journey. And I can't lie, I'm a little bit nervous about talking about this stuff because this is really sensitive, really vulnerable, really stripped back. Like, I feel very much like stripped back. I've tried to record this now a few times and I just seem to be struggling to share certain aspects of my process, hence the reason why I haven't shared this before, because it's so vulnerable. So I just please ask you to just please go easy on me. I just wanted to give you a little background of like where I've come from, what I've been through, what I've experienced, and going way, way back to the beginning. Like, I'm talking like childhood shapes our experiences in our adulthood. So that's why I wanted to touch on some of this stuff, so that it helps people move through their process as well, if they feel like they resonate with my story and my journey. But also, I do equally want to say that the reason I'm talking about this stuff is I have looked at this stuff, I've worked on it. I do believe that I've had a lot of healing come from working on it, looking at it, and choosing to see it from a very clean, conscious perspective, because some of the stuff I'm about to talk about is really sensitive, and it feels weird for me to say some of this stuff because I've worked on it to reprogram it, to heal it, if that makes sense. So the stuff that I'm sharing is going to be the stuff that caused my spiritual awakening, have been a part of it, and has been stuff that I've looked at and worked on. So yeah, very, very sensitive, very sensitive. I hope someone will take something from it to not feel so alone through their process, because I know the spiritual path can be a lonely one sometimes when we are really just like walking into it, or we go through phases of being in the midst of feeling like no one understands, or that you've got no one to talk to. And I've been there, and I go through it, and it's not just like it happens once, it's happened a few times to me as well. So yeah, it can be a really heavy thing, the spiritual journey, but it can also be the most beautiful thing. I think that's what people sometimes don't recognize about this spiritual journey, is that they sometimes think it's just like rainbows and butterflies. But like, when you get down to the nitty gritty of stuff, you really have to dive deep into yourself to like reprogram and heal and recognize things about yourself that you want to shift and want to change. And that has been a big part of this process, and it's molded me into the person who I am today. The disclaimer there is just like, please go easy on me. I'm sharing sensitive things. It's very scary for me to share this stuff, but I have worked through it and I've healed it. So some of the stuff that I'm about to say is quite heavy, but we're going to again try and come at this from a playful, lighthearted approach, because without laughter, like, what is life? Do you know what I mean? So you want to laugh, we want to just, you know, but it is going to get deep. Okay, so just strap in, be prepared for that. And I apologize if any of the stuff that I mention here is triggering. It is not my intention here. I'm simply just sharing my story, my journey, and what led me down the path of spirituality. Okay, so let's begin, shall we? So to start off with, I am one of four children. I'm the youngest out of four. The biggest age gap between me and my elder sibling is 8 years. So I grew up in quite a busy home. We're a very strong, very close-knit family. There has been a lot of stuff that's happened within my family. A lot of stuff I've seen, a lot of stuff I've experienced, a lot of stuff I've witnessed. As you can imagine, siblings, you know, sometimes there's tension between siblings. My mother and father are still married. I grew up in like that classic experience of like the mother stays at home, looks after the kids, works part-time, and the dad is out working, the breadwinner. He's the one that's kind of out most of the time making the money to like feed the house, put clothes on our back and so on and so forth. Growing up in a busy home was amazing, equally amazing, but also equally quite challenging at times. Where my first elements of when I dived into the world of shadow work and inner child healing, I had to go way back and like look at, okay, what was the experiences that shaped me as a child? A lot of the things that have come up for me in my adult life has been feeling that I haven't been loved by my father, having an abusive sibling. It's really hard for me to say this because it is something that is very personal and vulnerable, again, as I said, and I have worked on both of these elements. They've been a big part of my healing, a big part of my shadow work, a big part of my inner child healing. So I feel very like a bit uncomfortable about saying this, but that was my experience. My mother was very much loving and nurturing and there emotionally for me, whereas my dad wasn't necessarily there emotionally, but he was there physically. And what I realized, you know, growing up and coming out of the process and recognizing, you know, what my parents also experienced in their life, and they were doing their absolute best. I fully see that. But for a long time, I didn't feel like I was loved by my father, which I feel so bad saying because I know that he loves me. So like, I know that now, but I just didn't know it. I just didn't understand it then, because it was such a contrast of having like my mother that was so nurturing and loving physically, then when my dad wasn't necessarily like that. So that was my first experience of not feeling loved or lovable or not feeling understood, because I got that from my mum and I loved that. Let's just put it this way, my top love language is physical touch. So like hugs and hand holding and things like that, which is what filled me up, you know, when my mother was like that. But it was very confusing when my dad wasn't like that. But I understand now. And I have an amazing relationship with my mum and my dad. And the relationship with my dad has strengthened so much, which I'll touch on again, because like circling back round, before I turned 30, I had lots of realizations about the not feeling loved in that sense. And we'll circle back around to that. But I wanted to touch on that because that was a part of my growing up and confusion around that. And then the abusive sibling, I experienced physical abuse and mental abuse. Abuse is a big word and I don't necessarily like using that because it is a very strong word, but I don't know what else to use. Help me out, please, people. If you have another word for that, please let me know. The physical aspect of it has been something, again, I've moved through and I've shared and come to an understanding and a healing through that. Luckily, there's been an element of like, I can talk about this now and I feel comfortable and safe to be able to speak on these things without feeling scared. There's a huge healing that's happened there. And again, going out of it and seeing it from another perspective and as an adult, a lot of deep healing that's happened there. But that was my first experience. And I feel like these are points that I need to mention because of the experiences that I've had in my adult life, in my relationships, have been a pattern of these two things. So it's very, very important that I say that, but also important that I say that both of these situations, I very much love my family, and no matter what I've been through, there has been a lot of deep healing that's come from these things coming out of it. So yeah, as a child, I was very loud, I was strong, and I was very independent. Three things that I very much remember about myself: I was just very loud, very weird, very, very wild, very independent. If I wanted to do something, I would just do it. I was very creative as well. I was very, very big on dancing. I think I was dancing from like the age of 3 up until like the age of 13, I think. And I absolutely loved it. It was a very big part of my life growing up because we would go dancing about 3 times a week. I was doing ballet, tap, modern, baton twirling, like some very, very classical stuff. So it's really funny because people that know me now, when I tell them that I was a ballet dancer and I was good, I was actually really good, they're like, really? You? I'm like, yeah, hon. I absolutely loved it. Singing, just anything that was theatre, that was a bit of me. I loved it. You're young and you've got older siblings. They did pick on me. Sometimes it wasn't intentional to be mean. Sometimes it was just because they were trying to have a laugh. And so you have to like build and develop a bit of a thick skin. But, you know, I still crack sometimes. Going forward, I started relationships quite young. I thought in my head that having a relationship and growing up and being in partnership and having children and getting a house was very much like, this is what you're meant to do. In my head, I was like, that's what you're meant to do, isn't it? So growing up, I was always like really intrigued by the other sex. Moving forward, I had a really serious relationship at the age of 15, very narcissistic. When I think back now as a 30-year-old, it is wild to me that I experienced that at such a young age. And if I was to have children and my child was that age and going through that, I just don't know. It makes me feel like I just want to protect my child at all costs. It's not something that you should go through at that age, but sometimes people do experience it. And I know other people that have experienced the same thing. But unfortunately, I was one of those people that went through that. And I'm talking like serious relationship. People might look at a young kid at the age of 15 in a relationship and you just think, oh, they're just kids. Yes, I was a kid. I was a child. But at the same time, like, it was serious. It was really challenging. It really did bring light to so many things for me. And this was the first time that I realized that, well, it's the first time I understood that abuse was not okay. Like, I was just like, this sort of behavior, the way that I am being treated within this is not okay. The first experience where I was a bit more conscious of it and then realizing that this isn't okay. This is not making me feel good at all. But I was incredibly attached. It was like the classic narcissistic, empathic relationship. Trauma bonded. You can't get out of it because you're also really addicted to it. That element of like addiction within relationship where you're so codependent that you feel when you're not with them, it hurts. It's crazy that I was experiencing that. And about 10 months into our relationship, I was 16 years old. And again, this is just a trigger warning. I was 16 years old and I fell pregnant. And it was the most challenging experience I felt like I had been through in my younger years. That was the first awfully traumatic experience that I had to go through because I had to make such a big decision for such a young person. And I had to be really, really wise about it. And I had to really think about my future and about what I, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm in and whether this is okay. And do I want to bring a child into this? I had to put my adult pants on when I was in that position. And it was so hard. And I spiraled into depression after that. But circling back round, so I remember thinking I was pregnant because I hadn't had my period for 2 weeks. And I did a test in the morning before school. And I remember going into school, like I remember like seeing the test and thinking, oh, fuck. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, shit, just like speechless. And I had to go into school and play it cool. And I remember I was in a sex education class of all classes. And, you know, they were talking about all sorts of things that just triggered everything for me. And I remember walking out of that class and just bursting into tears and thinking, what am I going to do? Because I spiraled so much. One of the teachers recognized that I wasn't okay. I ended up speaking to one of the teachers about it. One of the teachers then rang my mother. My mother came and picked me up. And I remember leaving school out the back of school and getting into my mum's car. Me and my mum just sat there. And I just want to touch on this a little bit. Before this happened, this relationship was so abusive that he brought out all the worst parts of me that I think I've ever experienced within relationship. I was not a nice person. I was being triggered so much. With it being narcissistic, it was so, he was doing so many things that would just make my blood boil because he was purposely trying to get reactions from me, trying to make me jealous, physically abusing me, mentally manipulating me. Before bedtime, we'd be on the phone, arguing down the phone. So I was always trying to like calm the situation down. My relationship with my parents wasn't great at that time because I was just so absorbed into this horrible relationship that I just wasn't me. I wasn't being myself. I was completely merged into him. Everything I had to do was for him, like everything. It was just really hard. And I left school and got into my mum's car and we just sat there and I just cried and she cried. And bless her heart. Like, this woman is amazing. She is amazing. She sat there and she just told me straight up, look, whatever you want to do, I support you. With whatever decision you choose to make, whatever you do, make sure you're making the decision for you. And she was so supportive. I couldn't have asked for a better support system within that situation. I was very, very lucky to have that with my mum. But then I had to make the decision, and also then I had to tell my dad, and my dad was absolutely furious, as you can imagine. He was furious. I won't go too much into that, but he was not happy. And I understand. I get it. Like, his 16-year-old youngest child is now with child. Like, that is a lot. You know, it's a lot to process. So yeah, I then had to come to the decision of what I wanted to do. And I will tell you now, for about 2 weeks, I was back and forth. One minute I was going to keep it, the next minute I wasn't. And then the day that I decided that, no, I can't do this. I remember getting up for school, and I can't even remember what it was, but me and my partner at the time had spoke on the phone that morning. He was picking at me for something. We just got into a big argument about it. I can't even remember what it was. And this morning I remember going into school and just thinking, I can't bring a child into this world with this man. One, I was asking myself, can I see myself with him in 5 years' time? It was a straight up no. Do I really want to bring a child into this world with this abusive man? Because he wasn't a man, he was a boy. Not only that, obviously, on top of that, the manipulative side of things. And in my mind, I thought, that is not a healthy situation to bring a child into. If it's already abusive now, what is it going to be like with the child in the mix? Like, am I going to feel safe carrying a child with how he is with me? Am I going to be mentally okay to carry this child whilst he's with me? No, I didn't. Everything was a no, 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 because I didn't feel safe. I felt scared all the time. I felt on edge all the time. I was on eggshells. And so that day, I just knew, this is not right. This is not okay. When I have children, I want to bring my child into this world with a loving, caring, safe partner, not with someone that I feel scared of and that I've been hurt by multiple times. Like, I can't do this. I can't do this to me, and I can't do that to the child. So I wasn't just thinking about myself in that moment. I really was thinking about the baby and thinking whether this was the right thing for the baby. So I remember getting picked up by my mum, and I told her, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I've decided this is what I'm going to do. And she was like, okay, as long as that's what you're happy to do, that's your decision, I will support you through this. And my mum said something that stuck with me. And she said, when you go ahead with this, please make something of your life in respects for that child. So by you making this decision, you have sacrificed something to better your life. So please do what you can to make your life magical, basically, in that context. And that was really, really special for her to say that. And it really stuck with me, because I thought, yes, like, you know, I want this, when I do have this experience, I want it to be an experience that I can cherish. And I want that baby to feel loved from the minute it's conceived. The moment it's like conceived in my womb, I want that baby to feel loved. I want that baby to feel wanted, because babies feel things within the utero. Like, it is a thing. So yeah, that was a really hard experience in life. And I fell into depression. Bearing in mind, I was 16. So I was in the last year of school in the UK. That's year 11. And I was depressed. I had suicidal thoughts, and everyone was enjoying their last year of school. And I just felt so low, and I felt like I didn't want to speak to anybody. I felt like no one understood what I was going through. I felt unhappy within myself. Some of the abuse that happened within that relationship made me so self-conscious, and I was just really not me. I lost me. Some part of me was gone. Like, I was just traumatized, and it was deeply embedded in me by this point that I was so depressed. I was depressed because not only was I experiencing the fact that I had to go for an abortion, but the fact that my partner at the time was saying things to me, and I won't even repeat them because they are that awful, and it's very triggering for anybody that has been through what I've been through, to be told that it's my fault and that I have done something bad by choosing to have an abortion was really hard, even though he agreed and felt like it was the right thing. So anytime that he was feeling mean, which was most of the time, he would throw shade at me for choosing to have an abortion, even though it was something he agreed on. Yeah, it was a really hard time in my life. That was the hardest, most challenging experience I went through from that age, to not just be going through that. And then a couple of weeks after I had the abortion, found out my grandma passed away, and found out that he was cheating. It's funny because I was 16, and you know, when I talk about this, it seems like I was so young. I was still a baby. Like, in my eyes, I was still I was still so young and so vulnerable and so naive and just so oblivious to some of these things. So as you can imagine, that made me spiral even more. And then that imprinted all these things into my head of like me not being good enough. That was a big, big part of my growing up. Anyway, we broke up in the end. And I was just like, I do not want to know men. I just want to be single. I don't even want to talk to anybody like that. I just need to be with me. I need to heal. I need to grow. And I remember this was the first time like I was consciously trying to recognize something within myself that I didn't like within that relationship. So even though that was a really challenging relationship, I still tried to think about what it was that, what was my part to play in it. And I remember recognizing that there was a lot of times within that relationship where I felt very jealous because he would say things that would trigger this stuff in me. And it was like he was trying to say it to get these reactions from me, and it worked. And I remember coming out of that relationship and thinking, I really don't want to feel that way when I go into another relationship. I don't want to feel that jealousy that I used to feel with him. And I want to do what I can to, you know, be conscious of that and be a lot better within that going forward. So that was like my first element of shadow work, but without consciously being aware of it. So I was unconsciously doing shadow work, but consciously being aware of my experiences and what I was feeling, if that makes sense. So yeah, I was single for about 2.5 years. That was a really, really nice time. I kind of come back to myself. I was like growing into me again and figuring out who I was and what I wanted. And I was very much like, okay, I know what I don't want within a relationship now. I know I have all these signs. I've been gifted with all these signs to know what not to take, to see what's wrong and what's right for me. So that I was very grateful for, because I had these red flags, as people call it. I had these red flags. I was aware of them now by this point. I was like, well, I've been gifted with the awareness of the red flag. I attracted another relationship in about 2.5 years after him, and it was a very loving and safe relationship. It was the first relationship that I've experienced that was safe, loving, very caring. I felt very blessed to be able to experience healthy love. And I met him when I was 18. So I was still quite young, really. I was still quite young. And I was with him for 6 years in total. But within that relationship, I had my spiritual awakening, my conscious spiritual awakening. But I do want to just say, touch on, like, before going into that relationship, I used to think about, even though I wasn't ready, because it kind of came out of nowhere, that relationship happened randomly, like it wasn't something I was looking for, it just happened. So that was really nice. But I was very much aware of what I wanted. I knew what I wanted within a relationship because my experience before was so bad. So I was like, I know what I want. I know what I want to call in, and I know what I need, and I know what I can also give. So I was very much like, okay, I trust that this will happen. Anyway, and then just kind of let it go, you know, like it's like classic manifestation of like, this is what I want, this is what I desire. I'm going to just put it out there into the ether and then let it go, you know, and when it happens, it happens. Wonderful. So yeah, I, within that relationship, went on a deep, deep healing journey. So it was, again, at the beginning, I had to go through a lot of processes of like trying to learn to trust, even though it was safe and loving. I still had traumas from my previous relationship, and they came up like full force within this new relationship, because it was like all my feelings of like, oh my God, is he going to cheat on me? Am I good enough? All of the stuff that I went through within that toxic relationship came up in this relationship, and I had to start facing it and start learning how to basically reprogram and surrender and trust that this man in front of me was actually very safe, and he is here to love me, not to abuse me, basically. So that was where my spiritual awakening came in, because I recognized, again, going back to like this feeling of like not being able to trust and like feeling like he's going to cheat and not feeling good enough. There was a period of time in this relationship where I had a moment, like a 3 weeks, right, to really deepen into this like awakening that I had. And this was my first conscious awakening. So it was Christmas time, and I was living with my partner at the time. He was going to New Zealand for 3 weeks. So I dropped him to the airport like the day after Christmas. I think it was Boxing Day I dropped him. And then I remember that I suddenly, when I came home, there was about, I don't know, I would say like 3 or 4 days straight where I was just in the house. The curtains were shut. I didn't move off of the sofa. I was just binge watching like films, seasons. My body was there, but my mind wasn't. Like I was in my head thinking about something outside of myself. It was like my body was there, but my mind was like, I wasn't present basically. And I was thinking about all the things that could possibly happen with him being in New Zealand, me being here, and thinking, oh no, like what if this happens, and then what if that happens, and then what if I don't find out, and rah, 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 rah. And I was like that for like 3 days straight, very, very, very much in my head, thinking of scenarios that could happen, even though it was not happening. So I was just in my thoughts, and I was scared, anxious, feeling really low, and just not happy. I was so not happy. And then that was the moment. It sounds really bizarre, but it was like a moment of, hold on a second, I am so unhappy. Like I just realized how unhappy I was. And I was like, I'm creating all of this in my head. What if this isn't even happening? And I'm just sitting here depressed over this potential situation when it might not even happen. Like I am putting myself, I'm making myself depressed. Like I'm making myself sad. I'm making myself anxious. This is all me that is experiencing. Like this is my patterning. Like I am reaching outside of myself thinking, why is this guy not fully making me happy? When actually I realized that I needed to make myself happy. I was so wrapped up in that relationship. Again, I was in a relationship that was healthy, but I'd lost myself in that relationship again because I was literally living for him. So even though I have everything that I should be in my life that I should be happy for, like I don't feel happy within myself. I feel sad within myself. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to be feeling this way towards someone I love. I don't want to be feeling this way towards myself. I want to heal. I want to be happy. And I remember looking on Google and I literally searched books that make you happy because I didn't know what else to do. By this point, I was like, I did not know what to do. I was like, I just need to feel happy again. And I remember coming across the book, The Power of Now, and I bought it. But within this process of time, right, of me realizing this unhappiness, I learned within those 3 weeks in total, before he came back from New Zealand, to trust him. It was like my trust just appeared and all the shit just fizzled out. And this was about 2.5 years into our relationship, by the way. So it took a while for me to get to that point. And then when he came back, there was one night we were having a few drinks and his friend was around and we were all just catching up in the living room. And he said to me something that really made me think, wow, I didn't realize I was that bad. And he said, I'm surprised you haven't asked me if I've, you know, done anything with anybody. And I was like, well, I don't need to, do I? Because I trust you. And he was like, yeah, no, of course. But you usually ask me, you know, something and you just haven't this time. And I was like, yeah, no, I feel like I trust you. I don't feel like I need to ask you. But he was genuinely like, you usually do. I'm just shocked that you haven't. It's the first time I realized, oh damn, I didn't realize I was that bad. I didn't realize that I was doing it that often, that frequently. Like I genuinely was just like so oblivious to that. So I'm really glad that he brought my awareness to that, because that must have felt really hard for him as well to not be doing that, but also like to not have his partner trust him. You know, like he didn't feel like I trusted him. So he was actually anticipating me asking him. He was expecting me to ask him, which is crazy. Like that I done it that often that he then expected it every time. Yeah, that was my first realization of like, oh shit, I need to, like, this is definitely, but then also realizing at the same time, like, wow, I really have learned that that was just all in my head and that it's all about mindset. It's all about like detaching from the thoughts in your mind. They're like limerence thoughts that are just like you're creating a story in your head and making yourself unhappy and making yourself not trust them because of the stories that you're creating in your head. Whereas in reality, that's not actually happening. Going forward from that point on, I fully trusted him. I didn't have any worries, any stresses about it. It was really, really wild. It was literally like a switch flicked in my head. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what it feels like to feel safe within a relationship and not have all these anxieties around cheating and stuff. Like it was just, but obviously, you know, sensitive to myself, that was I'm not surprised because I had such a hard experience in my first ever relationship from such a young age. Like, my brain was still trying to develop and I was going through these traumatic experiences. So, like, you know, you can only get better going forward. So yeah, that was my first full awakening. And then from that point on, I was literally so hot on spirituality. I was like, this is amazing. I remember having a conversation with my sister and I was telling her about The Power of Now and that I was diving into these new self-help books because I didn't really read back then, and then I started reading. But The Power of Now at the time was like really hard for me to understand. I didn't get it. I was trying to read it and I was like, this makes no sense. I'm just really struggling to understand this. And then she just happened to mention, oh, have you heard of the Law of Attraction? And I was like, no. And then she kind of explained it a little bit. And I was like, huh, interesting. That sounds cool. Weeks later, I was at work and I was on YouTube watching videos. And then there was a recommendation within the little section down the side. And it said Law of Attraction. And I remembered, oh, that was the thing that my sister mentioned. So I clicked on it and I watched it. And I'm pretty sure it was with Cornelia Grimsbo. I think that's how you say her name. I might be butchering her name, but I will link her. And she was talking about the Law of Attraction. And it just really resonated with me. And I was like, wow, this sounds amazing. So I went into a deep dive after that. I bought is the book called Law of Attraction? I can't even remember now. No, I bought the book called The Secret. Sorry, I shouted then. The book called The Secret. I read that and I understood that. For me, it was like, okay, this is like a simple way of stepping into the spiritual journey. So that was really easy for me to read. So I read that and I was like, wow, this is blowing my mind. Wow, 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 wow. And then from that point on, I just went on a deep dive. I was just very much at times being like the toxic positive person. Toxic positivity comes in big and strong, I feel like, sometimes when people step into their spiritual journey, because I definitely was like, think positive and positive things will happen. And like, you know, the classic Law of Attraction, and then thinking that you can't think negatively because if you think negatively, then it will happen. And it's not always that way. You know, we are human at the end of the day. But the very, very beginning of my spiritual journey was all about the Law of Attraction and manifesting. So that was a big part of my first opening and entry into the conscious spiritual world. Feeling very, very, very connected to the spiritual community, because that just felt like I understood it. I felt like it was like an understanding of myself and understanding of others. And for me, it's been a big, big part of my journey in life, is to understand who I am, what I'm doing here, why I'm here, and, you know, just learning to love life. It was huge. It was huge for me. Big spiritual awakening. And it got to a point where I was kind of realizing that I had merged into the relationship again, even though it was a healthy one this time. I had this patterning of being codependent. So I would merge into a relationship and then just live for that person. And that's basically what happened. I was living at his. I was doing the things that he wanted to do. So if we were spending time together, it was doing something that he liked doing. I was wanting to try newer things, really simple things like going for a walk. It wasn't really on his radar or not something that he wanted to do. So I started doing a lot of things on my own because I was like, I would ask and say, you want to come do this? And it was always like a no. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it anyway. Just circling back to when he got back from New Zealand, we decided that we were going to save for traveling. Within this time, I was like, oh, I'd love to go traveling. It just looks amazing. It'll help me like find myself and just step out of this little bubble of this town that I'm in and just find who I am more and like what I like more and what I enjoy. So we made a decision to start saving to go traveling. And we were going to go traveling in 3 years' time. Okay. So deepening into my spiritual journey, my healing journey, I was trying to find myself. I was trying to understand who I was outside of this relationship, what I liked, trying new things, just to get a more clear understanding of who I am and what I love and what I am here to do and what I want to do with my life going forward. But traveling was a big part of this. So I was very much focused on like saving for traveling and like where I wanted to go and what countries I wanted to visit and what I wanted to do when I was in those countries, and like just binge watching so much stuff on YouTube about traveling. So that was really, really fun. It was about a year actually before we were going to go traveling. And I remember just mentioning like, oh, we can book our flight soon. And I was noticing and recognizing that he was very resistant. I'd just bring up the subject of traveling and I noticed a shift in his energy. He would get quite snappy and he would kind of be like, I don't want to talk about it type vibes. And I started actually saying to him, like, I feel like you don't want to come with me anymore. I just don't feel like this is something you want to do. And he would always be like, no, I want to do it. But he'd make an excuse as to like, oh, I thought we were going to do it the year after that. And I was like, no, we agreed on this. And it got to a point where, I would just be like, I just don't feel like you want to come with me. I don't feel convinced. I feel like within him deep down, he wanted to. And it was something that he definitely wanted to do. But there was something stopping him. And I don't know whether he was now living through my dream of like wanting to go traveling. It just wasn't right for him. But I just don't know whether he was sure. That kept coming up. And then it got to a point where it was about the year we were meant to leave. We were planning to go traveling for 2 years, right? So we were going to be out for a while. I was planning to move back into my parents during that time to spend the most time with them before going. And also to cover my back in case anything happened when we were out there. I wasn't sure by this point. I just felt like I needed to have a safety net of like anything that happens. I've come back and all my stuff is at my parents' house. It's not all at his. Plus, we weren't going to be there. So he would have had someone else living in his space.
I just realized that a huge chunk of part of that story was missing. So I'm just hopping in here quick to just fill in the gaps. I eventually told him that I was going to move back into my parents sooner than I was originally anticipating. I was originally anticipating moving back in maybe like 4 months before we actually left. But I decided that I wanted to move Jan, Feb time, and we were leaving in November time. I ended up leaving in February time. I told him that I was going to move back into my parents like after Christmas. And was he okay with that? And he was obviously like gutted, but at the same time, he was like, no, I understand. And then he openly told me, I actually don't want to go traveling anymore. This is not my, it's not what I want to do. So obviously that left us the big question of, okay, what does this mean for us then? So this whole process was like just really hard in the moment, really, really difficult because I was having to make a really massive decision because at this point we were like nearly 6 years into our relationship and, you know, we were in the sick for a year and I knew I had this dream ahead of me, but then, you know, this man in front of me that loved me and I had a lot of love there as well, obviously. And it was like, okay, what do I do? Do I just do what I usually do and just not follow my dreams and just live for the other person? Or do I actually continue to do the things that I want to do and follow my dream, follow my journey, follow my path? I knew that was the right thing to do. So obviously I said to him, okay, well, this means like, just so you know, like I still want to go and I still want to go for the length of time that we originally planned. I've been excited about this for 3 years. Like, I'm not just going to throw that away now. But he totally understood. He was fine with it. Obviously, deep down, there was, both of us were like, whoa, like, what does this mean for us? This is a lot for us to take in.
So we came to a decision that we'd stay together. I'd still go traveling. He would come out and visit every now and then or do a 3 month sabbatical. And we'd try and see if we could make it work. Like that was what we started off with. So in that time between the beginning of the year, because I left for traveling in November of 2018, we stayed together until August 2018. And the reason I chose to walk away from that relationship, there's many things in that leading up to that August. I would mention again if he had spoke to his boss about the sabbatical, whether he was thinking about coming away, what dates and where would he want to visit me. And he just again was like brushing it off, didn't want to talk about it, gave me quite short answers, told me he hadn't spoken to his boss yet. And I felt like he just wasn't taking it seriously. And again, I felt like he didn't really want to, like, he just wasn't filling me with hope that he was going to come and see me. And then there was a couple of times he mentioned he was worried about coming out and seeing me because he feels like it would make things worse. It would make it harder. So I was like, well, so what are you saying? You'd go a whole 2 years with not seeing me potentially. He was like, well, that's what it takes. And I just couldn't. For me, I was just like, no, that doesn't feel right for me. That doesn't sit right with me because in my heart, I need my partner there. I need to be able to see you across those 2 years. I want to be able to see you in those 2 years. I want us to experience this beautiful, tropical, amazing holiday and experience. Because at that point, we'd only been, in those whole 6 years, we'd only been to Amsterdam together. And that was for like a weekend. We'd never actually been on holiday. So I really just wanted to experience more with him. And I just didn't feel like he was at that point. So I'd kind of gotten to a point where I felt like I was traveling at like 100 miles an hour. And he was traveling at 30 and he wanted me to meet him at his 30, but he couldn't meet me at my 100. That to me was really hard. I had to really make a big decision. And this year before I was going, I had so much in my head at this point because for me, I was like, I had so much changing in my life. I was struggling to navigate all of the feelings and all of the emotions that I was moving through, because I was having to leave my job. I was having to leave my friends, my family. I was having to move my whole life into one backpack at a point so that I could travel for 2 years. And also having to walk away from my relationship. At the same time this was all happening, I know some of his family wasn't happy with me choosing to actually go traveling. Like, why don't you just stay? He loves you, so why would you not stay here with him? And I just couldn't, I didn't know what to say, because I was very much like, well, you know, this is my dream. This is something that I've wanted to do. I'm not going to give up my dream for a man. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I've given up my whole life. Like, every experience I've been through with men in life, I've given my all to that, and I've given my everything to it. This is one time in my life where I'm finally choosing myself, finally like making something for me and creating something for me. And I'm not going to throw that away. I would regret that for the rest of my life. I felt like I was being selfish because I know he loved me. But then at the same time, I felt like I had not been selfish at all my whole life. And this was the one time I was actually choosing something for me. So I had to do what was right for me. And I definitely got frowned upon. But we had a big group of friends in our local town, and I felt like a lot of the people didn't understand why. But there was the odd few people that was very understanding, and a lot of them had this desire to go traveling, or found it really inspirational, or wanted to do it themselves, or had done it already. So they understood the feeling of, I need to do this for me. And it's, I asked you to come with me. You said you would for 2 years, but like, now you're saying you're not. So why is this a bad on me? You know, I've actually had to come to the conclusion that I'm now going on my own. I'm having to leave my whole life behind. Like, I just didn't feel like people weren't being very sensitive about my experience. So I felt really alone. Like, I felt so alone. I felt like no one understood what I was going through, and I was definitely struggling mentally, and I just didn't feel like he was taking it very seriously. And yeah, it just got to a point where I just felt like we had grown so apart, and with so much love, knew the right thing to do was to end that relationship, because I loved him, but I knew we weren't right together. I just knew that I wasn't happy within the relationship, and we didn't want the same things from life. We were wanting completely opposite things. Like, our values weren't aligning anymore, and they were at the beginning, but at this point they weren't. So, you know, it was a very healthy breakup. Like, it wasn't toxic. We both knew it was coming. We both knew it was the right thing for both of us. It was really hard because there was a lot of love there, and he was my first healthy experience, and we kind of grew up in our 20s together, because 6 years is a long time to be with someone, you know. But I knew it was the right thing for me anyway, to do that. I can't speak for him really, because I feel like it was really hard for him. I know that he struggled, but anyway, this isn't about him. No offense, but yeah. So anyway, it was like 4 months until I was going traveling, so I was like trying to get my stuff together. And that whole year of traveling, we won't go into the deepness of it, because that whole year of traveling was like, it was really interesting, because I really did learn a lot about myself. I just went on an amazing adventure, an amazing journey, but there was really challenging times within that time. Like, a lot of people were like just assuming that I was having the best time because I was on the other side of the world and I was in a tropical country. But like, if you don't work on what's in your mind, right, and what's inside you, no matter where you are in the world, you are still going to be unhappy if you are not happy within yourself. Let me just repeat that. If you are not happy within yourself, no matter where you are in the world, you are still going to find unhappiness within your life, because the most important part of the healing process is working on what's in your mind, what's in within you, because whatever's outside of us is just, yeah, it's adding to our experience, and it can help. Definitely. It can definitely help. But if you're not happy within yourself, no matter where you are, you're going to find something that's going to bother you. Do you know what I mean? There was times where I was away, and don't get me wrong, being in certain areas definitely helped me, but I still had to work through a lot of things. I felt like the time away helped me process the relationship, but also helped me learn who I was and what I wanted from life. And I just realized I got quite self-conscious when I was traveling. I realized I was really self-conscious about myself, and I felt like I was missing a big element of myself. Like, it felt like there was a missing puzzle piece of me that I couldn't find and I couldn't get back. And I just wanted to learn to love myself, because I just didn't love myself. I didn't deeply love me. And I wanted to learn to love me. So I first started off in Thailand, went to Cambodia, came back to Thailand, went to Laos, from Laos went to Vietnam, and then from Vietnam back to Cambodia, and then from Cambodia to Bali, then from Bali to Australia, Australia to Peru. I did go home for 2 weeks as well within that time, and then I came back to Australia again, and then went to New Zealand for like the last 3 months, and then I came back home in 2020. But yeah, so in 2019, at the end of 2019, I decided to go to Peru and go on an ayahuasca retreat. And if you don't know what ayahuasca is, it is plant medicine. I'm not going to delve into it here, but it'll be something I'll be touching on definitely within this space. So a big part of my process was like, I just wanted to go there because you go and drink medicine with an intention. And my intention was to learn to love myself. I wanted to heal. I wanted to grow into loving me. Just self-love, man, just self-love. I just, again, felt like there was a missing puzzle piece. So that was an amazing experience, genuinely catapulted me into even deeper elements of my healing journey and my spiritual journey. It was incredible. I really, truly had a complete ego death. I fully was like reborn. And it was so amazing because when I was at the ayahuasca retreat, I think I was turning 25. Or 26, I can't remember. I was turned 25 or 26 when I was at the retreat and on one of the ceremonial days. So it was really beautiful because it felt like a full rebirth. I remember that experience on my birthday. I felt like I was a baby and I was like just feeling the joy of what babies feel when they're just laying there doing nothing. Like I genuinely was feeling that and it was amazing. I had met some amazing people, had an amazing experience, and I really found and recognize the love within myself. That was the beginning of, okay, this is what I need to do to love me from the inside. Speak kindly to myself. One of the biggest realizations I had was, right, okay, when you're stood in front of a mirror and you're looking at yourself, you're thinking negative thoughts towards yourself. Imagine there's someone else stood next to you that's meant to be your friend, right? Your best friend, your bestest of bestest friend, right? Has stood next to you. And all the negative thoughts that you're thinking towards yourself is coming out of their mouth instead, right? Would you want to be friends with them? Probably not, because they are bullying you. So I recognize that I was saying all of those things about myself, therefore I was bullying myself. Now, because we're with ourselves for the rest of our lives, we're with us for the rest of our lives, we have no choice. We're with us, right? Why make it a heavy experience? Let's talk kindly to ourselves. Let's look at ourselves and say, you look really nice today, you look beautiful today, look how beautiful your hair looks. Mirror work was big then. From that point on, it was big because I realized that, oh yeah, like if there was a person stood next to me that was meant to be my friend and saying all the negative things I'm saying about myself to me instead of me saying it, I would be like, you're not very nice. You're actually being really mean. So that was the shift, and it was amazing because like that was it. And I was like, wow, okay, I cannot be that negative towards myself. And don't get me wrong, like I sometimes slip even to this day, but it's definitely not half as bad as it was back then. It was so bad. I went on a self-love healing journey, and then I came back home at the beginning of 2020, so the beginning of lockdown. I think it was like February 2020. First of all, it felt bizarre being back because I literally felt like I was like, just everything was the same, but I had changed loads. It felt like I'd been and gone on this huge journey, but then I came back, everything remained the same. Like everything was the same. And I was like, this is so weird. Started getting back into work again, worked throughout the whole of lockdown. I started going into the dating world again, which was very scary for me because obviously I had all these triggers and all these woundings from my previous relationships. This element of like, okay, right, now I'm learning to love myself. Like I need to come at this with like a really open approach, like be open to love, be open to receive, be open to the experiences that might come forth, right? Try not to be like, oh, like scary, you know. You want to be like, okay, let's do this, let's fucking do this. We've built our confidence whilst we've been away, let's bring that into this world. So I started dating, got into a very fast, quick situationship that lasted for about 4 months, and that really catapulted me into the dark night of the soul. Shadow work, inner child healing. I recognized so much about myself in those 4 months. Like, whoa. That dating relationship made me realize that I was still quite codependent. So all this stuff that happened within my first ever relationship, that narcissistic one, right? The patterning of that was resurfacing again within this dynamic. And I was being, one, a people pleaser. I wasn't saying no. I was just like letting everything happen. I wasn't setting any boundaries. I was like just being very nonchalant and just like yeah, you know, personally, like looking back, it was actually quite toxic and it was very fast. Everything happened very quick. And sometimes that works for people, but I realized within that situationship that that doesn't work for me. I need a slow build. I need to build the foundations of a relationship first and like plant the seed and nurture it and then wait until the sprout grows, because like I can't like rush into things the way I was. And it made me recognize that I had done that a lot. I'd rushed into things without like really seeing that person for who they are. So that relationship was a very big eye opener. It made me think I don't actually want, and I'm not ready for that yet, actually. Like, I need to work on myself still. Like, I still need to deepen my healing, because, like, why was I allowing that? Why was I not setting boundaries? Why was I struggling to speak my truth? Why was I not saying no? Why was I setting a boundary but then still letting it happen? Why was I people-pleasing? Like, why? Why was I doing all of that? I thought that I had healed. No, honey, you still got some healing to do. So I went on a celibacy journey again. I've been on multiple celibacy journeys, by the way, throughout my whole adult life. But I decided during the celibate year that I would just deepen my spiritual practice and spiritual healing. So I then signed up to Be Magnetic, which is a online platform that Lacey Phillips has created. It's amazing. It's a manifestation guide. I did that for about a year. You do shadow work, you do inner child healing, you get meditations within it that are like binaural beats, and it's working to reprogram your mind to the true you. So a lot of that time, it was heavy, but it was really, really important that I did that. I recognize, and this is like circling all the way back to the beginning, the inner child healing, recognizing, okay, this was what was triggering me, this was bringing this up for me. These are my shadowy aspects that I don't necessarily like, but I want to work on to heal them and to love them and to see my inner child and my shadow, see them and love them and nurture them and say, it's okay, you're safe now, all this stuff, right? So I delved deep into that work, and it actually was amazing because it made me realize that you don't have to do plant medicines to have like really deep, powerful healing experiences, or you can still have that with just like journaling, meditating and reprogramming, rewiring and becoming aware and making choices that are more aligned to you and setting boundaries and just basically speaking your truth, right? That's what it was all about. So that was a really powerful year and it brought so much to me, and I was so grateful for that. And I will always think about that work, and it's not something I've done for a while, to Be Magnetic, but I've actually recommended it to so many people because it worked so well for me. But yeah, it's something that I would definitely dive back into again because it was so powerful and it's just really powerful work. So I really recommend shadow work and inner child healing. That experience was really powerful again. And then once my celibacy, the year came to an end, I got into a very short-lived situationship again with someone that opened up my mind and really helped me release sexual shame. Going way back to when I was young and I fell pregnant at an early age, I didn't touch on this, but I did lose my virginity at quite a young age. It wasn't a nice experience. It was quite a traumatic experience, and there was a lot of sexual shame that came from that in school. The people in school didn't realize the situation, but it was very, very it wasn't great. And that's not something I'm going to be talking about because it's so, so personal, and only the close people that around me know the full ins and outs. But that was very, very traumatizing for me, and the people in school found out and took it and ran with it and called me all sorts of horrible names. So I had a lot of shame around my sexuality because I am a very sexual person. Like, it's just who I am. I am Scorpio through and through. I've literally got like four planets sat in Scorpio in the house of Pisces. Intimacy is a very, very important part of my personal relationships when it comes to romantic relationships. Intimacy is huge. But this short-lived 2-month experience really opened me up to releasing that sexual shame and like loving that sexuality and just being safe to actually express yourself that way, because it's a big part of you and it's okay to have that desire or that element of yourself that is beautiful. Yeah, releasing sexual shame was a huge part of my journey. I felt like I needed to mention that in here because I do love the topic. I love talking about sexuality and the power of spiritual cosmic sex. I just think that it's a huge part of us healing and actually having, you know, a relationship with yourself in a sexual way and it being a really sacred experience because sex is so sacred. I personally feel like my experience is you have to be very alert with who you're sharing yourself with because that is such a sacred space that like you don't just share it with everyone. For me, it's like share it with someone that actually appreciates you and loves you and literally holds you in such a sacred way. Yeah, that was a really beautiful experience that really opened me up and made me think, right, okay, well, actually, this is okay to be like this and this is okay to want this. In 2021, when I qualified in Reiki level 1 and 2, I was talking with my teacher and we were looking at the chakras and I had very much worked on my upper chakras. So like the crown chakra, the third eye, the throat, the heart, but I hadn't really done a lot of work on the root, the sacral and the solar plexus. And obviously where I just had this short little experience with someone where it opened up my healing towards my sexuality and like releasing sexual shame, it helped me dive into that realm of like, okay, let's work on these lower centers now because I need that grounding. I need to ground, deepen into my creativity, find my power. So that really helped me recognize that level of healing there. As you can tell throughout this whole journey, like there's just so many different elements to it. It's not just this one line. I've picked up different elements of healing along the way and like, oh, I want to try this and oh, I want to try that and this one sounds fun, I'm going to try this too. Reiki was a really beautiful opening to the world of energy healing, which has now become one of my offerings. I actually offer Reiki and shamanic Reiki within my business. That was back in 2021 when I qualified and I only have just felt ready to actually start offering these healings because I needed to do some work on myself. I wanted to really be in alignment myself to offer people alignment within themselves. So I qualified in Reiki level 1 and 2 at the end of 2021 and then literally a week after I qualified I did a coaching course with the Dharma Coaching Institute, which is with Sahara Rose. 6 months later I qualified as a soul alignment coach. I call myself a soul alignment coach because I feel like our souls always just want to come back into alignment to who we truly are as beings of this earth. And within that space of time I decided at the end of qualifying I decided to move to Glastonbury. I just had this pull, and if you're not from the UK and you haven't heard of Glastonbury before, you might think it's Glastonbury Festival, but Glastonbury is actually a town that is like the most spiritual town in the UK. It's like a spiritual hub. And I was feeling very called towards Glastonbury. I'd visited a couple of times. Like, it is a place that if you visit once, you'll want to visit again because it's just so much fun. Like, people are just very much themselves, expressing themselves, who they are. It's just very spiritual. All the shops and everything, like, you'll know what you mean if you've been here or are coming here. And anybody that's not from the UK and they're visiting, I always recommend to go to Glastonbury if you are into that kind of stuff because it is such a cool place. Like, you'll love it. But I decided to move to Glastonbury. You know when you go on the spiritual journey and like you dive in for a bit and then you pause, you're not like diving into the spiritual topics anymore. You're just kind of being present and just enjoying life and just going through the motions, and then you dive back in again and you start working on something else, and then you stop for a moment, you integrate all the lessons and you just pause for a while. This was kind of what happened when I went to Glastonbury. But on top of that, I seem to be having awakening after awakening after awakening. It was so intense, like, whoa. So I moved into my own flat, and when I first moved, I was like, right, I just want to meet people. I just want to have fun. I just want to experience life. And it was just all about play and presence. Like, the whole experience was just like play, presence. Let's just enjoy this. Let's play. Let's have fun. Let's drum, because I love drumming. Like, let's drum. And I just spent like the whole year drumming basically because I got a djembe. And if you've been to Glastonbury, you'll know at the top of tour, people tend to drum. And you just get all sorts of people from all walks of life that just come up there with instruments, and you just end up just playing, like, it's like a whole band that just plays for like the whole night, and it's just amazing, and it always just gels so beautifully. I felt like I was going back to my childhood. Like, I felt like I was a kid again, just going out and having fun. And I met a group of friends there. I would say they're all musicians because they're amazing, amazing, amazing on the drum. And I just became really close with them. And I built this really beautiful connection with this group of guys. And it was so lovely because at one point I was like, why am I meeting men? Where's all my women at? I've got so many female friends in my local town, but like, I come to Glastonbury and I can't seem to meet women. These lovely guys, like, they're all like brothers to me, and I just had to surrender to the process of that. At one point I was like, I need to meet women, like, I need to be around women. And there was a point where I was like, no, like, this is meant to be. Like, you're meant to be meeting the masculine, right? Like, it's about the male energy. And this was a big part of my time in Glastonbury again, because Glastonbury is quite male dominant. Like, if you go there, there's a higher percentage of men than there is women. I don't know why, but there just seems to be, it just seems to be that way. But it helped me really heal the masculine element of my life. Like, there was a big healing that took place there whilst I was there, and it makes sense towards the end of my time in Glastonbury. Like, everything kind of pieced together really nicely. But it was really, really nice. It just felt like lovely to have like a group of male friends and just feel really set. Like, they made me feel really safe, because like, being a woman in a town that's got a lot of men in it, it can get a little bit creepy at times. So I just felt like I had this like beautiful group of friends that made me feel really safe, that looked after me, and we just had a lot of fun, and it was great. So at this point, every single week, it felt like I was going through a spiritual awakening. Every week I was recognizing something within myself. I was realizing something about life. I was seeing a pattern play out. It was just like constant. And I feel like anybody that's lived in Glastonbury will understand this. Glastonbury is literally on ley lines, the hub. Like, there's all sorts of energies going around that place. It is powerful. It's just like a portal, a vortex of energy. And there's very much an experience of light and dark, but intense. It's like amplified. The light and dark is amplified. So, and you can kind of recognize it during the seasons as well. So like, when it's winter, it seems like a lot more darker, and there's a lot more like heaviness that you feel that you're moving through and what people are moving through. And then in the summer, there's a lot more light and playfulness, and everyone's a lot lighter. And yeah, it's really, really powerful. And it's like super obvious when you live there. But circling round to January 2023, I experienced my first ever Kundalini awakening. Now, again, I've mentioned this in my first episode, but this we'll touch on a little bit here. I'm going to talk about this in a completely separate episode. It's going to have its own series, my Kundalini awakening, because there's so much that has happened. But I just want to say, I know the word Kundalini gets thrown around a lot in the spiritual community, and it can be used and abused, the word. And I never really understood what Kundalini meant. I just understood that there was an element of energetic spiraling that comes from the root up, and it's like a snake. That's like that's about as the biggest description I could give you from that. At that point, that's all I knew. But when my Kundalini awakening happened, it was really intense and powerful and beautiful and orgasmic and just incredible, like absolutely incredible. But a lot of heavy stuff came with that as well. Again, the light and the dark. It's like the energy within me got shifted so much that it like shot me up into the realms of like the universe. And then I had to bring myself back down, and my body had to catch up with my energy that had been shifted and changed. Now, I think a big part of my awakening, there were so many elements like leading towards that, was the fact that I was living in Glastonbury. I was in a completely different place. The ley lines, the energy of the space, living on your own as well. You recognize a lot about yourself. I recognized a lot about myself when I was living on my own. So having the experience of a Kundalini awakening, that I feel like there was a build up to it. And I remember on autumn equinox in 2022, I actually went and did a Bufo ceremony. I did a solo one as well. So it's just me and her. And she said to me that Bufo shifts your energy, so it will like shake it up so that you can realign again. And I was like, okay, that's what we want, right? We want realignment. But she said, just take it easy this next week because it will be quite intense and so on and so forth. So I was like, yeah, cool. But then obviously leading into January, and then this Kundalini awakening happening, which was unexpected. It wasn't planned. I didn't go to a practitioner and get someone to awaken it within me. It genuinely just happened. And I'll tell you what happened with the lead up to that is I was actually setting up my space to do Reiki on myself. And that day I decided to, and I don't condone this and I don't recommend it, okay, but I'm just telling you my story. I actually had some cannabis and I Reiki'd the cannabis. I Reiki'd the joint that I made. I went and smoked it. I came back ready to do some Reiki on myself. Before I could even activate the symbols, the energy just burst in my root and just started spiraling up my spine. and out of my crown. It was an orgasmic feeling. It literally felt like I was making love to life. It's like so hard to explain, but it felt like I was making love to life. It was an incredible experience, but also really, really jarring at the same time, because it was like two elements of me were talking at the same time. This element of you need to let go, let go, let go. Let go of the attachment to your voice. It felt like I was like behind myself also saying, what are you doing? Like, what? This is weird. This is crazy. What's happening? But then there was the element next to me like, let go, let go. You need to let go. Let go and just let the energy flow through you. So after that, I was like, what happened? What was that? I didn't understand what it was, but it just kept coming back to me that felt like it was a Kundalini awakening based on what people have kind of touched on. Is that what it is? I wasn't sure, but I felt like that's what it was. So I just went on a deep dive trying to learn about Kundalini, listening to loads of other people's stories about their Kundalini awakenings, what happened to them and what they experienced. And it was so on point. It was literally the same. Going forward after that, I was already planning to move back home. So moving out of Glastonbury and back into my family home, which happened in May. But from Jan onwards, it was just happening randomly every now and then. Sometimes I was having to have it under control because it was activating, and it seemed to activate a lot whenever I had a little smoke. I don't know what it was, but like having my Kundalini activated or reactivated made me ultra sensitive to so many things. My sensitivity levels like amplified. So even just having a little couple of puffs of cannabis, I was like, this is really affecting me. I can really feel it even more so. And then like the feeling, the energies of other people around me or just in a space that I'm in, it was just so much more intense. And there was a few times where I was like, I don't feel like anybody's going to understand me anymore. Like it made me look at life in such a different way. It was really bizarre. It was just like, life is never going to be the same after this. I'm going to look at life differently after this. Life is so unusual and so esoteric and just wild. There's just so much to life that we don't know. And to explain this to people, who's going to get it? Because I didn't get it when my friend was telling me about her Kundalini experience. I was like, what is she going on about? I get it now. I actually understand. And I felt really guilty about like not, you know, seeing her when she was telling me that story, because I genuinely was like, this girl's talking crazy. And that's coming from me, but I totally understand now. And yeah, it brought me a lot of presence. All my spiritual practices that I was doing just stopped, and my spiritual practice became presence. My thoughts don't need to be there, and I just need to be present. I just need to be here in the now and quiet in the mind. Quiet in the mind felt like absolute bliss for me. And there was a few times where I felt like this quietness in my mind, but it actually scared me because it was so quiet. And I was like, oh my God, like what am I without my thoughts? It was such a bizarre experience, and I was experiencing that up at Tor in Glastonbury. But again, I'll touch on that a little bit more when we actually dive into Kundalini fully. Once it activated once, it was happening again and again and again. And every time it happened, I was like, what? This is so wild. But then within that space of time, I feel like it gave me the energy to start my coaching business. So I actually started and created my business and started coaching a couple of clients, moved back home in May. I was going back to work a little bit more. There was a lot going on. I started noticing that when I got back, I had a lot of realizations within friendships, this feeling of lack of trust and support within friendships. I ended up started isolating myself actually a lot in 2023. Where this Kundalini was like activated and it opened up all my energy centers, I just recognized some things within the relationships around me that I was having with friends. And there was something that happened between me and a friend at that point, just coming back from Glastonbury, moving home and stuff, that really made me realize that authenticity became one of my biggest values within all of my relationships in life, my friendships, my family, my romantic relationship. Authenticity became the biggest thing for me, because I felt like if someone wasn't being authentic, I couldn't trust them. I was like, who are you then? I don't know who you are if you're not being authentic. It was really like, it really affected me. So I had this realization that like, all of the stuff that I went through in Glastonbury that whole year, honestly, felt like an ayahuasca ceremony. It was so intense. It was so intense. It was so draining at the same time, but also so amazing. Because the big thing about spirituality and like going on the healing journey is that you need to allow yourself to pause within the spiritual journey. If you don't pause within the spiritual journey, you will find that you're just building on loads of different realizations. Where's the integration of that? Where's the anchoring of all that knowledge that you're downloading about yourself and your life? We need to anchor it into the body. We need to anchor it into the mind. We need to anchor ourselves down into the earth and root ourselves, ground ourselves with all of our teachings. Because if we just continue to pile on all this information, it can get overwhelming and there's not an integration that happens. It's just like reading a book but not actually actioning what the book is trying to teach you to do. You can read it and put the book down, but if you don't action what you've learned, are you embodying it? Do you know what I mean? But that was huge for me. When I came back in May, after all these awakenings and then the Kundalini experience and then this situation that happened within a friendship, I just couldn't. I just felt like I needed a break. I just needed to step away from everyone and everything and just pause. And I went on this real deep dive of just like, I just want to be normal. I just want to feel normal. I don't want to have to like have another realization. I just can't right now. I just don't have the energy for it. Like I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I just need to sleep. I slept so much. Oh my gosh, I slept so much. And I just needed a break. I just needed a break from it all. I just needed to just be present and enjoy life for what it was, rather than having to do all these things and having to learn all this stuff and having to have this realization and that. I just was like, oh, just I'm tired. I'm tired of this all. Like, I just need a break. I actually started feeling like I didn't want to do the spiritual work. I was like, I just don't want to do it anymore. This has been so much. Yeah. Step away, let me have a break for a moment, let me just like deal with my life without this and just try and come back to what it is to just not have to be doing all of this stuff. Again, like just hopping off the spiritual ride for a little bit. And then I was approaching 30 in October, and that was also feeling like really big for me. It was feeling so overwhelming. I was like, oh my God, I don't have my life together. I don't have everything that I want right now. There's so much that I wanted to do and I still haven't done it. And like I was telling myself that I was going to have it done by now and I still haven't. And I was just like feeling so much, even though I need a break from it all, I was getting into a very... probably I would say a dark place. I was actually going through another dark night of the soul, I would say, without even realizing that that's what was happening. And I just felt really low and felt really heavy and just everything feels like a lot. Everything feels overwhelming. My sensitivity levels are just like sky high. I feel like I can feel everyone around me. Like this is so intense. And I think this is a big part of the Kundalini awakening, to be honest. Approaching 30 and having this crisis of thinking like, what's happening? Where am I? What am I doing with my life? I thought I would have my shit together by now. And I felt like I needed to run away. Again, it's just a real trauma response of mine of just, let's just run. Let's just get out of here. Like this obviously isn't working. Let's just get out of here. I nearly gave up on my relationship. But I was so in my head about so many things that I couldn't anchor into the present. I was so not present. And I was like, I need to go to therapy. Like I genuinely just reached, I was like, I need to go therapy. Like this is not right. I've done all this spiritual work and I'm feeling like this. What is going on? I feel like everything I've learned has just disappeared. It just felt like everything had just dissolved and just gone. And I just thought, you know what? I just want to find something that works for me. That doesn't mean I have to go into the spiritual world again. I just need something that's a little bit more normal. And I hate saying the word normal because it's not really fair to say that. I just felt like therapy was a good idea. So that is definitely something that I do feel like we all need. I feel like therapy is actually really beneficial, even if you don't feel like you need to go to a therapist. It's so beneficial to just talk to someone, because I recognized within myself, I was feeling very alone and I felt like nobody understood me. And I was creating this, by the way. I felt like no one understood me. I felt very alone and I felt like I couldn't talk to the people around me about what was going on because no one understood me. So I was like dealing with it all myself. And then getting triggered when I was speaking to people about it because they were trying to fix me or they were interrupting or trying to answer what I was about to say before I was even able to finish what I was actually about to say. So there was a lot of things that were like coming up for me and within my friendships and family dynamic, trying to open up about stuff and then not feeling heard or not feeling seen. And I was just feeling a bit lost. And that's when I was just like, okay, yeah, I just need to go to therapy, to go speak to someone that doesn't know me, doesn't know the people around me, to just talk about stuff and just have someone hear and listen. I feel like that's all I need. I'm good at doing that within my friendships and my relationships, right? But I just at that point didn't feel like I was getting the same backs. I went once knowing full well I needed to go back. But at this point, it's like Christmas time. Things are getting expensive. Therapy is something that I will continue to do and want to continue to do because I do think it's very beneficial. Even just that once felt like it was really powerful and it really helped me. And it's been something I've been craving, the want to do it again. Paused my business in August of 2023 to like go through my process. I was feeling overwhelmed and sensitive, like seeing the truth in people as well. Like I was really able to, you know, it was like there's a veil, right? And it's like I could see beyond the veil of what people were coming at me with, seeing beyond them as a person and reading the energy and the body language of the person in front of me amongst the words that are coming out of their mouth. Sometimes that is a superpower, but also not as enjoyable sometimes because it can just feel very uncomfortable seeing that stuff because for me at that point it was like, oh gosh, I don't even know who I can trust right now. It's really, really hard. So I felt like I was going through like a big dark night of the soul before turning 30, and touching on it now makes me realize how much I thought that I was like having a spiritual pause, but really I was actually going into the mush of the spiritual awakening. I was in the mush. Caterpillars, they make their cocoon and then they turn into like goo and then they turn into a butterfly. I was in the goo. I was having so many relationship triggers coming up for me, fears of not being enough and not being chosen. Trust was coming up for me loads. Feeling anxious and feeling like I wanted to run away from it all. I just needed to find safety within myself and security and love. That was a big thing for me because I'd noticed the stuff that was coming up for me within this relationship was stuff that had come up for me in my previous relationships because of my previous traumas. So like even though I'd done the healing on it within my previous relationship, it was coming up for me again within this relationship. The vastness of how that healed shows me that the healing has definitely taken place because I've managed to heal an element quicker and move through it quicker than in the previous times. So there's just this level of like sharpening things up as you go along, no matter whether you get triggered or not. It could come up again, and when it does, it's just how you respond to it. That's when you can see the healing. When you don't get triggered by things anymore, that's when you know the healing is done. That is a big thing for me, noticing the triggers and knowing the healing's done. Circling back round before I moved back from Glastonbury as well, I did have a psilocybin ceremony. Within that psilocybin journey, I had a really profound realization about my relationship with my dad. And it's interesting because I literally seen all the ways that he loved me and all the ways that I couldn't see before. And I felt this immense amount of guilt and this immense amount of love at the same time of, wow, you really have loved me in all these ways. And I'm so sorry for not seeing you when you loved me. I didn't see your love and I felt so guilty about that. But it was so healing. It was incredibly healing. And that's why I mentioned the thing about being in Glastonbury and being with the masculine energy a lot, learning to heal my masculine wound, which was that. Recognizing all the ways that my dad does love me and has loved me. And that was really beautiful to witness and see, shedding tears within that journey, because I was like, wow, like you really have loved me so much and I'm so sorry for not seeing that. But then I was like, this is so beautiful, I'm so grateful for this medicine. Coming back home as well and like being in my home space was really interesting to see how my relationship was now, once that energy had been shifted, it shifted something. My relationship with my dad feels different in a good way, because this element of I see you, I really see you, and I love you for who you are and how you are and how you love. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. I just remembered that I hadn't actually spoken about that, but that was another big awakening that I had. And I actually had that after I had my Kundalini awakening. That realization came through I think it was about March time that I had this ceremony. Obviously, finding security and safety and love, I think that's what triggered that memory, because realizing that like I am lovable, I had to realize that within my childhood and then to now. It's such a beautiful realization, and coming back to that within love, I didn't realize that. So what I did realize about relationships and myself, and I was single for 5 years before my current relationship that I'm in now. And I worked on myself a lot in those 5 years. But going into partnership with someone brings up all sorts of different stuff that doesn't come up for you when you're single, when you're like not within partnership, it literally mirrors back to you the things that you need to work on, or like mirrors back to you things that you might not realize about yourself. But when you've got someone else there to be a witness to that, it's so much more obvious. And there was things coming up for me within this that I was like, fucking hell, I didn't realize that I still held on to that energy. I thought that I'd moved through that in a previous one, and now it's coming up again. It's very powerful. I feel like conscious relationships are really powerful in regards to healing. If you've got the right person that you feel safe enough to talk to, safe enough to communicate with and open up to, and you feel just safe with them in general, there's a lot of healing that can take place there. And it's how you work through things together. You only get through things that come up that are intense. It's really powerful, and it really just builds like so much strength within the relationship. It's been really powerful for me. I was finding more confidence within my relationship at this point, because I was like, wow, like, yeah, I've been through a lot there and recognized a lot about myself, and like realizing that that's still there and wanting to work on it to like release that and to let that go. And there's been certain times within the time that we've been together where certain things have come up for me, and I've been very scared to share what's coming up for me, because within my previous relationship, it's been really hard for me to speak up. I've pushed things to the side because I'm like, oh no, I don't need to. And then it's made me build resentment because I've not opened up and shared my truth. So it's been really teaching me how to speak my truth and just say things up front. And what's been really great is he's been very much like, you need to tell me in the moment rather than waiting, which for him, that's really important. And for me, it actually helps me realize that, okay, I'm safe to do that. That's better for him as well, but also it opens up the door for me to feel safe to do it. And that's really important, because I know that me feeling like I can speak up and speak my truth and express my needs is really important within relationship, because without that I feel not met in the right way, you know. So it feels really beautiful to be able to find more confidence within relationships and like recognize how quickly I can move through things compared to what I was like in the past. I mean, when you've been single for like 5 years and then you get into a relationship, like it's a lot. It's really beautiful, but it's like a real interesting process, because you've gotten so used to being solo, just riding solo. You got so used to that, and then you're basically merging your life with someone else's whilst living your own dream as well. And the great thing about this one is that we're both very creative, and separately we both have our own things on the side, so we inspire each other to do those things. So within previous relationships, I've been very much merging into them, whereas within this one, it's been a beautiful lesson and learning to still do the things that I love that light me up without falling into just being completely submerged into them. Still doing the things that light me up, not just completely being codependent. We're being independently together, if that makes sense. So it's really, really beautiful. That's been a big part of the end of 2023 for me, leading into 2024. Where I'm at now is an interesting one. I feel like I'm on this journey of, okay, like I want to put my all into my business and my creativity. I've got a strong relationship now, and my foundation of where I'm at right now is like, okay, I have the capacity to put my all into my business. And I think when you start a business as well, that also can be really revealing to who you are as a person and how much you can stick to your own personal promises that you make with yourself. Okay, I promised this for someone else. Why have I not promised it for myself? For me as a person, I overanalyze things. So I kind of like break things apart and then piece it back together. I try and understand deeper why I do the things that I do, or why I choose to do things this way rather than that way, and why I think this way. I feel like for me, I'm always trying to look at things from a real conscious perspective, trying to understand the behaviors of myself and the people around me. Where I'm at currently, I'm just trying to get my life back together, because the last 6 months, I really just fell off all my spiritual practices. Wasn't stretching, wasn't going out for walks as much. I was just in this pit, and I felt like I was like kind of in a dark place, really stuck. I felt really stuck. And it's been a real process pulling myself out of it. This dark night of the soul has really been very at the forefront. And it's been a real process to like grab my hand and pull myself out of that darkness, because there's so many things that I want to do in life. I was at this place where I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. But I needed that break. I really needed that break, because within that break, I slept a lot and integrated a lot and recognized a lot as well about myself. And it allowed me to sharpen things up around me that can only benefit me going forward. So it's been a real process to move through that, get back into the habit of waking up earlier and not going to bed too late, and actually moving my body and finding a routine. Again, within my time at Glastonbury, I dropped into my feminine energy more. I realized before I moved to Glastonbury that most of my life I was living in my masculine energy. And then now I've shifted over to my feminine energy. I kind of was very much in the feminine energy. But then, like, when you're trying to start a business and you're trying to, you know, create content and post consistently and, you know, also work part time and all of this stuff, you do need some structure. You do need that element of flow and surrendering and trusting, but you also need the structure that you can kind of like piece everything together. And now I'm at a place where I feel like I'm balancing them both out, learning to have more flow. And what helped me with my more flowy life is that I asked back in October whether I could go part time in my job. I was actually going to leave, and then I nearly left to go part-time, and then they offered me part-time hours, and I was like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. So that allowed me to rest more. I went from working 5 days a week to 3 days a week. I thought I was just going to be like bang on it with my business and posting and like creating and stuff, and I just wasn't. I just needed to rest. So that's what I did. I just rested a hell of a lot. And then yeah, like this year, it's just allowed me to come out into the open again and be like, okay, I feel like I've rested enough. What can I do to build myself back up again? Because I was thinking, where did I find the energy before? Before I moved to Glastonbury, I was like finding so much energy to do a lot of stuff. The Kundalini energy really shifted a lot, as well as like all the freaking, you know, spiritual awakenings that happened within that year had shifted so much energy within myself that my body, my physical body, was like really trying to play catch up. And it was just like, what is going on? Why am I so tired? Why am I like this? I wasn't eating very well. Like, I was literally eating like one meal a day. I just wasn't feeling hungry. It was really, really unusual. Like, for me to not have an appetite is unusual. I feel like now I'm at a place where I'm stepping out and up, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I feel better. I started going back to the gym, which has been really, really good for my mental health. Like, I realized the other day at the gym, I was like, wow, this is really helping my head. And I'm not going to the gym with an intention to like try and be or look a certain way. I'm just like, I just genuinely want to go so that I can move my body, feel a little bit stronger, and just it can benefit my mental health. If it helps shape my body a little bit more and tones me up, great, that's just a plus. But I'm not really bothered. I'm just more so there to like maintain, you know. And yeah, like started dancing again, started creating again, feeling that vortex of like ideas open up in my mind to be like, here's the flood of ideas to come through. Because I was literally drawing blanks, people. I was drawing blanks. I was like, I can't even think of something creative. Like, I feel like I can't be creative because I'm not feeling it right now. Like, I'm not feeling like I'm getting ideas. I just needed to work on myself. Like, I genuinely needed to just like, okay, you need to put yourself first, put your health first, get yourself back into a mental space that feels good, and then things will come. Like, things will start making more sense. And honestly, it's been amazing. That's what's happened in the last like 2 months. I got my website finished, started sharing that I am holding energy healings. I've literally only just today actually messaged the lady because I went and viewed a healing space, another healing space that I really liked, and she was really cool, and it's actually worked out loads better. So I'm now scheduling in to have every Fridays to do healings. So that's really exciting, and it's just really nice to be able to have that ball rolling to offer shamanic Reiki, standard Reiki, and cacao and shamanic Reiki. I just love holding space in that way. It feels very exciting to me. I do energy healing with the Shakapa and the Hucha stone. So that brings the element of like Reiki and shamanic healing together, which is super nice and exciting. And I love for offering it. So yeah, like that's all sorted. And then this, I've been planning to do a podcast for years. If you've known me personally, and you know I love me a good voice note, I've talked about it with quite a few friends before about like, oh, I want to start a podcast, and we're finally here. Like, I'd never really understood quite how to do it. And then I don't know what happened. Like, just this year, I was like, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to start it. And it feels really exciting to be sharing it on YouTube as well, because I love video and I just love sharing information that could help benefit someone else's life. Like, if you can take something from this and take some learnings from it, if it doesn't resonate at all, that's fine. just wanted to create a space which was safe enough to for people to open up and to feel seen and heard. And this feels like the right space for that. I can talk a hell of a lot as well, so it's quite nice to just like free flow. I'm more of a channel when it comes to sharing my ideas. I can't script. I struggle to script. And when I do script, it sounds so robotic. But like, I like to have like a point to like flow from, because I can flow when I've got a good point. I just open up and let myself like speak through whatever needs to come through. At this point in time, I'm feeling pretty good. And I'm feeling like I've got a rocket up my butt. And I'm excited to just dive into this world of podcasting and sharing content around it. And just, yeah, talking to people and getting the topics out there and just being creative. It's very exciting for me, and holding space for people. My coaching services will come back around. I've still got that on pause at the moment, because I actually want to like re-amend my coaching offer, because it feels more aligned to focus more on self-love and authenticity. So I'm shifting that a little bit in the background, and I'm not sure when it will come back, but it will come back. Like, I will be offering my coaching services at some point, but I'm not going to put a timestamp on it, because I don't like putting pressure on myself. I really just want to dive into these two elements first and just see what flows out. And I'm still working part-time as well, so obviously there's that in mind. So I'm just trying to navigate and juggle the lot, but within a finding balance within it also. Like, I know what days work for what, and rah-dy, rah-dy, rah. So yeah, we're here, we're happy, we're good. I still go through my processes, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't wake up every day feeling great. Today I woke up and I was like, I don't feel 100% today. Like, I don't even know how I'm gonna, you know, sit down and record a podcast, but here we are and we're doing it, and I feel good. And do you know what I think helped that? Was going to the gym, getting up, going to the gym, getting out of the house, you know, coming back, having something healthy for food, and just starting to create. And then it just flows from there, like shifting the mindset of like, instead of me waking up and choosing to be this way today, I'm waking up and I'm choosing to be this. I'm going to choose this, because it's all about choice. Like, I do think it's important to like move through your processes when you're moving through them. Like, if you're feeling something, move through it, but do not attach to it to the point where you literally are stuck in it. I felt that like that last year. I felt like I was attached to the heaviness, but I pulled myself out. You've just got to get to a point where you can pull yourself out and away from that heaviness, and like really allow yourself to be enjoying life, because this is a beautiful experience that we're able to have here. And you know, life is just a mixture of all sorts of mysteries, and I love it. And I love meeting people that are like into the same stuff, like open to this world of spirituality, but also coming at it with a not so serious approach. Because again, this can all be, like my journey that I've shared with you, there's been some incredibly serious points that I've had to touch on there. And serious times. And I have at one point been very serious within the spiritual journey, like thinking that you need to be a certain way to fit into a certain box, and like recognizing that that's not how it should be. And it's okay to actually just be you, and you don't need to fit into a certain box to fit into the box of spirituality. Like, being you is the most spiritual thing you can do. Like, being authentic is the most spiritual thing you can do for yourself and for the collective, for the world. You know, we need our individuality to shine through, because that's why we're brought here to be us and enjoy our life through our lens and share on our experiences, you know. So I always preach, please be you. Please don't try and be anyone else. Like, just be you. And if you get inspired by someone, then that's amazing. And let yourself lead with that, but in your own way, in your own unique way. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I hope I covered all the points. I feel like I'm going to come off of this and be like, oh, I forgot to say this, and oh, I forgot to say that. But you know what? There's so many opportunities to be able to talk about all sorts of other stuff. And I promise you, this will get a lot more intricate, and we'll talk on some other subjects. All of this will be shared on YouTube as well as on podcasting, Spotify and all the other platforms. And yeah, if you want to come over and say hi on my personal account, everything will be linked in the show notes below. I'm still quite new to this, by the way. Even the first episode that I recorded, I actually had my mic plugged in the whole time, but didn't have it switched on. So I was actually recording from the computer's mic. And I was like, oh, we start off great, don't we? So it's all a learning curve for me. I'm still kind of navigating and learning this all myself. So my camera died 3 times within this whole episode. So I've had to pause and like come back. So it's been, I feel like I've been sat here for like 3 hours. But anyway, we move. We do what we can. You know, we're doing our best. So have a beautiful day. I hope you enjoyed. Hopefully this wasn't too intense. And hopefully you feel seen within your journey as well. And yeah, I'm sending you so much love. Thank you for being here. And stay tuned for the next episode. So much love.